Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well...
Well, I love that.
I love that. I love this.
This is amazing.
This is amazing. This finale was kind of amazing. Could have been a little better.
This finale was not amazing for me.
It wasn't amazing for you?
Not really. I mean, I was expecting things to be a little more explosive. I was hoping that Jen Shah would take things in a She-Hulk direction. I'm glad for her, like, mental health and sanity that she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But... for my entertainment purposes, it was not amazing.
Well, I'm glad for like the building structure of Beauty Lab's new location that she didn't She-Hulk. So I think it was good that Beauty Hulk didn't get catapulted into space. Beauty Lab didn't get
Jen
She-Hulk.
Needs to start
Beauty
her own
Hulk
brand called Beauty Hulk.
Beauty
that
Hulk
are truly the strongest beauty products that are angry at your wrinkles and fully just like eliminate them.
Yeah. And her, she does like an infomercial and she's like, have you ever saw your wrinkles in the mirror and thought, where the fuck are you coming from?
Literally, that's me this whole past week. I'm like, I really think that every last shred of Botox and filler that was in my face as of 2020 has left the building.
Yeah.
And I'm now left to just face my own wrinkles day in and day out, and I'm really coming to terms with how not okay with them I am at my core.
Face off.
It's face off with me as both Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
Yeah, I'm in like a place of like just accepting that I'm always gonna look like 10 years older than I do.
You don't though.
I do a little. The bags,
you don't.
I have like bags down to like my shin. I have like Irish, you're like Angela's ashes. Like, I am in a James Joyce novella. I'm in Dubliners.
But on men, like, it's just another travesty because men carry wrinkles so much better than women do. Like, it's just to be expected that a man is going to have wrinkles.
Typical men.
But then, like, a woman, like, I just didn't accept. I guess everyone's like, when you're 35, you die. And like, I was like, whatever, like girl power.
That's how it used to be.
Fine. And now I'm really realizing it is like being 36. I'm like, maybe I am just like dead. My face is dead to the world.
Oh my God. Stop.
Which is dramatic. I don't really mean that, of course. But I like understand now.
No, Lars,
like,
you.
Wow, we're fighting the fucking clock.
There's a few people in my life who just have maintained like their beauty and like freshness during Quora, which I'm like, and you're one of them. Like, I there's a few people I know that are just, I'm just like, how are you doing this? So like, it's all perspective.
Well, I appreciate that. That's really kind of you to say.
But you also motivate me to maybe, like, at some point in the next few years, like, get a little, or like a little, little fill up. I don't know. Maybe in my furrowed brow.
You know what? Like, a little Botox does go a long way, and I'm all for needles. I'm for doing what makes you feel the most confident about yourself. And I will never shoot down someone's inclinations to.
I probably won't. I want to get like what Demi Moore got under her eye. No, not recent. I'm talking about like.
Okay. I was like, no. I was about to press my Peter's button.
No. I'm talking about when she just like emerged from her chrysalis and just had no bags under her eyes. And I was just like.
Yeah.
Like when she, like, I'm talking about
when
like.
When she got like a full body lift, but it looked glamorous and gorgeous and natural. That was incredible.
But whatever she did under, she got like a. Because I have this.
It must have been filler. But it's over now. That's literally me looking in the mirror at my own face.
It must have been filler. But it's over now. I have this thing that pushes your capillaries under your eyes. It's like a little like boop, 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 boop. It's like this little like robotic.
Oh, I know that.
And it like pushes. And I think it's helping. Not smoking has made me less ashen looking.
Yeah, not smoking will really help you bounce back. I'm drinking a ton of water every day. And I'm now like in a competition with two of my best friends to see like who can be the most hydrated day in and day out. And it's helping. Definitely. But
Sigs made me look like I had like I was covered in like a layer of like soot and like I was like a chimney sweep.
They're so bad for your glow.
I know, but I was
oh, believe me, I would love.
I miss Sigs. I have to say it. I talked with Simon and I last night. We were both like, we miss it, but
it's
we're not
a love
we can't
story. No, I really am right there with you because I stopped drinking this year and I'm like doing an experiment where I don't drink for a year and just to see, and it might last longer than that, TBD. But in the absence of alcohol, my craving for cigarettes has gone through the fucking roof. Like I would love nothing more than to just chief a pack of cigarettes by myself. No company necessary.
No, you don't fucking.
Like,
why would you
stare
want company?
At the sky? Yeah, I want to be alone with a pack of Marlboro Lights, and I can't have that, and I won't give that to myself, but I will yearn for it.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah,
I would love American Spirit Yellow, but I'm not going to because, at the end of the day, I'd like
really
to live.
Really bad for you.
I would like to live. To see, like, my niece and nephew have kids.
Yeah.
So.
Can I tell you a life hack that I'm also loving in addition to drinking a lot of water and just thinking about cigarettes but not smoking them? Is I discovered this recipe for seed bread on the Goop 2021.
Seed bread? Detox.
It's bread. It's a loaf of bread made of seeds. That is held together by, I guess, water. I don't know the ins and outs of it. All I know is I'm making this seed bread. And
that sounds like magic CK. Magic.
It is magic. It's black magic because it is keeping me very regular. I will say that.
Oh, really?
I
need that.
It is
something I struggle with.
Brew down. Okay. It is keeping the brew. It's a revelation.
Oh, okay.
And this seed bread, I make you can do avocado toast with it. I put lox and cream cheese. It's very easy, Carrie. It's literally like scoops of seeds and you mix it together and put it in the oven. That's literally the easiest thing. I've turned so many people onto this seed bread. I'm here to spread the word about this bread.
I love to shit.
You will awaken in the morning and shit first thing. And it will feel really good. I'm not joking.
No, I'm like... And then you'll probably shit
two more times in the course of your day, and you will literally feel like your body is the machine it was meant to be. I'm like hydrating, shitting, hydrating, shitting.
You're literally just, like Sarah Connor in Terminator 2.
Exactly.
Doing pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But like shitting from seed bread.
But instead of a pull-up, I'd sit down and I take a seedy shit.
Wow. Okay, well I'm interested.
Yeah, that and juice. I'm now into making my own juices because I got a juicer for Christmas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm really making a lot of beet juice is my new thing. And so beets plus a seed equals just true regularity you can only dream of.
I'm really into bubbly right now.
Sparkling water.
Mm-hmm. Zero calories. Same. Zero sweeteners.
Pellegrino is my
no,
number
no, no,
one.
Like the brand bubbly.
Bubbly. What is that? I've never seen it.
It's a canned sparkling water. There's different kinds of flavors. There's grapefruit. There's strawberry. There's cherry. There's lime. There's blackberry, I think. It's really good. But it's like, wow. It's kind of LaCroix, but cheaper.
I love that.
And I think maybe a little better.
Is it amazing?
It's amazing. Yeah, I you know, I'm in a Haribo candy phase right now.
Eat that candy, baby. You got to do what you got to do.
It's going to keep me from smoking, I will. I've just been craving it. I'm sorry I'm talking about it again.
No, it's okay. I get it. I'm doing like at night because I get the sugar cravings instead of like if I'm not drinking wine, I want some other type of sugar.
Oh,
so
yeah, you don't realize how much sugar you're when you drink alcohol. Like,
yeah.
When you stop drinking, you're like, you become like a sugar fiend.
I'm in a Jenny's ice cream brambleberry crisp phase that is truly a godsend.
I've never had Jenny's ice cream.
This brambleberry crisp, ooh.
It'll as good as a panine. Oh my God,
it's
really
better
quick,
than a
Danielle,
panine.
Stop news. And then we can get into SLC, but someone sent, you probably know what I'm talking about, but someone sent me from Danielle's
from Joe
Gunn posted a video. He's so funny on Instagram. You should follow him.
He is the number one lawler on Instagram for me. Like it's unreal.
He's really
everything
good.
He posts is truly hilarious.
He's so funny. But he posted, I guess, on Danielle Staub's podcast. Absolutely Danielle. She and her producer, who's like kind of the Robin to her Howard. I guess Bravo. Just on their like Instagram, like they just posted a throwback clip to Danielle, the first season of Housewives of New Jersey, where she gets stood up on a date, and she's like waiting, and it's like they're in like she's near like Hoboken, and Teresa and Jacqueline come and like help her, save her from being stood up, and it was like stand up at Danielle Staub, and like you will be, you know, you will rue the day or something, and I guess Danielle and the producer either he knew better was just rallying her up, or he just also thought that they were literally saying like stand up Danielle, like,
and
they
see,
were,
what happens. See what happens. No, I think they wrote, like, stand up Danielle Staub and see what happens, like being like you don't stand up this woman because that's rude, and she literally thought they were threatening her and saying stand up Danielle Staub and see.
I'm gonna play the clip really quick because you have to hear it. It was
so Danielle interpreted that as a threat, and this was her response on her podcast to Bravo.
Oh.
Should I read it?
Oh, please do. Please.
Stand up at Danielle Staub and prepare to heed the consequences.
Really? Okay, I'm going to stand up, Bravo, okay?
Yeah,
I'm just going to stand up.
Do it.
And I might have to move back a little bit so we can see me. Okay.
There we go.
So let's
perfect.
See. I'm not standing all the way up yet. Let's see. Here we go. So Take your best shot, Bravo. Go ahead. Bring it on.
So now I'm standing and hit me with your best shot. Go, Bravo.
I don't know.
I'm not all the way up yet. I'm still got to get a little room.
I don't know.
I'm halfway up. Okay, yeah. Now I'm standing.
I'm standing, go Bravo. Go ahead. And I might have to move back so you see me. But go ahead.
And now I'm standing.
And now go I'm ahead. Standing. Go ahead. She is so...
She's an incredible woman. She interprets
everything
anyone
as
says as a
grievous,
threat on her life.
She interpreted that as grievous bodily harm.
She thought, like, as soon as she was standing, Bravo was gonna, like, detonate.
Like, the laser pointer was gonna, like, go in the middle of her forehead.
Yeah.
All right. I'm standing.
Go ahead.
Now tell me what I have to do. I'm standing, Bravo.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Standing up. Take your best shot.
Take your best shot, Bravo.
I'm ready.
Hello?
What is it like to live a life where you literally think every day that someone is going to kill you? That is stressful.
Talk about regularity. I had diarrhea for 2 weeks. After that.
From the death threat that I received.
Stand up. Come on. Hit me with your best shot. Oh, yeah, she goes, oh, please do. I love that. When he's like,
oh, please do.
He's like, I think I'm going to read it. She goes, oh, please do. Like she's in on, she thinks she is, it's just.
She's exposing Bravo's threat. She's exposing Bravo's Instagram for threatening her life. Go ahead.
I love also the consequences.
The consequences are major.
All right.
All right. Go ahead. Now
you
I'm standing.
You will rue the day.
You will rue the day that you threatened me. Stand up. All right. 1 second. It might take me a minute to stand. I've got to get a little room.
Bravo will be revealed tonight.
I'm not standing yet. I'm almost there.
I'm almost there.
All right. Now all I'm right. standing all the way up. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What if one day Danielle, like, the threat that she interprets is actually real and she gets, like, blown away?
Well, we all know that, like...
She would like that, I think.
But we all know she would...
I think she loves... Like, she wants... She flirts with death. We all know this. She's a long time...
She's flirting with the other realm at all times, but she would love nothing more than to get... like dynamite
brutally killed,
but as we know, as it's come to be revealed with like Dina Manzo gate and like, you know, Brownstone gate last year, that truly she's not that far off to be that worried. I don't think
you enter Jersey and you're one slapjack away from just getting your fucking kneecaps knocked out,
and don't I know it.
Donut, stand up and stand see up. What happens. Please do. Please do read it.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Unhinged.
Speaking of living life on the edge, guys, we're in the finale of Salty Utah Queens. The first That's season true. Of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City has come to a close, plus 3 reunion episodes that, like, arguably are almost like as long as the whole season.
Wait, let's intro.
Okay, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy,
Unique
Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. Finale is upon us. We have three.
Why on earth would there be 3 reunion episodes? There's not that much to say.
Three reunion.
I understand why Mary would fall asleep in the reunion, because that's too much reunion.
Mary coming in for like the finale event, that, you know, the beauty bar event, I was just like, this is cheap. Saving it for all for the end. She was with them for a collective 2 episodes. She spent the rest of the season in her room.
Locked away in her closet bedroom, just accumulating more and more clothes and shelves on which to put the clothes and hanging standing racks on which to hang the clothes.
Commanding Charlinda
to like vacuum here and clean this and dust that, and then FaceTiming randomly from her bunker.
They really rushed this. The finale felt poorly cut together. We didn't get an ending to the Vegas trip.
Suddenly they were just not in Vegas
anymore. Yeah, that was like, and that whole like echoing, like it starts out with like all the women are back in Salt Lake City and they're having flashes in their heads of like the drama that went on in Vegas, and it's all, and the whole season long really, and it's all just like echoing, and like it's all shot in like sepia or like,
yeah, it's a DMT fever dream, the opening sequence of this episode.
Yeah. And so it's all them. And it was, I was kind of like, I wanted to see the fallout from Vegas. I needed one more episode between this and the finale.
Well, yeah, we needed to see the ending of that gathering. I thought we were going to see like how that gathering with the psychic lady was resolved, whose book I did get on Audible and have not listened to yet, but it is on my
Hell
list.
Yeah. No, I wanted that too. You hear Whitney sits down on her shag rug with a crystal in front of her, and you just hear Jen yelling at her in Vegas, Whitney, shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up! The fuck up!
Whitney, to be fair, probably hears the echoes of someone telling her to shut the fuck up day in and day out.
Yeah, but it's mostly like the women reflecting on Jen's, all the crazy antics Jen has, you know, conjured up this year. But yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, why did they make it seem like it was gonna be like a to be continued with the Rene Russo Connie Britton like hypnotist, and then just cuts to them like days later. Like I was wait when they were doing the establishing shots of Salt Lake City, I was waiting for them to like go and like then we were in Vegas, like,
yeah, go back in time.
Nope.
But no, we just, 1 second you're in Vegas, 1 second you're not in Vegas. And that's just, I guess, how Vegas goes sometimes.
They cut to Mary, and she has some clip of her going like, when I said crazy, I meant it. And her eyes budge. And I had like a guttural laugh at that.
Yeah, I love trying to incorporate Mary into like this flashback thing, because she's not been involved at all. So it like felt very out of place.
Yeah. Heather's getting ready for her big launch of Beauty Lab, the new location for Beauty Lab. And they're doing the grand opening. They're doing an event. They're moving everything. So she's going to it's going to be like the final party is like her opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big moment for her.
Yeah. And she is gathering her team together to like figure out the last minute construction stuff and like what needs to be done in order for the Beauty Lab to be open. And she's like, everyone, gather around. I've had a rough weekend in Vegas, so if I'm short with you today. And I was like, I love telling strangers, like, in a professional sense, that, like, you're calling back to your rough weekend in Vegas for why you're, like, a little on edge.
They're like, I don't care.
They're like, okay, and?
The theme of the event is very, like, fluffy, you know,
pink.
Magic hour kind of colors. Pink. I don't like wing art.
No.
Wing art on walls, stuff like any
the
kind of wing art.
Bane of our society as we know it.
The Melrose kind of wing art. Oof. I don't like it. I don't trust it.
Nothing worse.
But she's got a lot of that going on. A lot of floral. Whitney pops by after her gym. After deadlifting.
Whitney goes, I'm literally disgusting.
I just
nice
came from
see.
The gym. Heather is shocked because they have like the poles for the stanchions for the red root, like the pink rope, you know, for when they have like a party and there's like beyond the rope. She thinks they're called poles, but they all keep calling them stanchions. So that's like a joke. Heather is like, I've never heard of that.
I'd never heard of stanchions either.
And then Whitney's like, they're stanchions. Yes.
They are stanchions. Yes. And she, Whitney wants Heather to like gracefully uninvite Jen because she feels like Jen's going to ruin the beauty lab opening.
Mm-hmm.
And she, Whitney, cannot help but wonder, is Heather addicted to toxicity? And the answer is yes, she is.
Very much so. Yeah, she absolutely. Also, Whitney kind of like, she kind of like negs her a little with like, she's like, yeah, it looks like you have a lot of things to do still. And Heather's like, well, don't say that to me.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm sure it's all going to look good when all of this is organized.
And then they like hug and then that scene's over.
Mm-hmm. So Lisa is going to finally a new locache for, I don't know why I keep calling it locache.
It's a new bar. And you know what? It's not always easy for Lisa to enter a new space because you see her trying to open the door and she's very thrown by how heavy it is. And it kind of like rocks her body to its core. She barely makes out with her life.
She goes, it's a heavy door.
It's a very heavy door. And then you see her kind of get flung to the side. But she manages to get in the restaurant. And then she's just going to grab a seat at the bar.
Yeah, she's just, I love her just like, she's just narrating to the air. I'm going to make a right now.
Lisa is in constant communication with the universe at large.
Lisa is Siri.
She is Siri.
She is.
Alexa. She's more Alexa than Siri, I think. Yeah.
Yes, make a right here. I would love like a Lisa Barlow robot.
She should do like on Google Maps, like it should be an option to have Lisa be like your narrator.
I would love.
Mm-hmm. We don't know who she's going to meet.
Who's she going to meet?
It turns out that she's meeting Jen. Oh my God.
She's meeting the Hulk.
Yeah. And Jen comes in and
they both look amazing, by the way. They both look like.
Yeah, they look incredible.
Lisa's outfit is amazing. Jen looks great. Like, they both look very fab, I just have to say.
Versace may or may not have underwritten this season because every single woman is, like, wearing Versace.
Yeah. It was...
I'm not mad at it. More Versace, the merrier. But I'm just, like, noted that, like, it's a real Versace takeover mm-hmm. on SLC.
It is. You hear, like, choir music when Jen sits down. She goes, I need a drink.
Yeah.
And then Lisa goes to the bartender. Jen's going to have a drink. And then she goes, I'll have a vodka. And I was just like, ooh.
Vodka like, Jen, for a casual day drink? You need a drink.
No.
I think you need no drinks and maybe just water for a while.
Also, maybe like just, I don't know. I would have a mellow glass of Merlot over vodka. Because
yeah.
if you're like in a not so hot state of like mental state, I mean, vodka's no.
Yeah, that's not ever a good thing to introduce to the mix.
So Lisa and Jen just kind of debrief about Vegas. Lisa talks about how the day after the Vegas, like the morning everyone was leaving, she was walking, waiting for the elevator and the doors open and Jen was in the elevator, which is so cinematic, and she had no makeup on and she had red eyes that she'd been crying, and Lisa just like her heart broke for her, she says. And she was like, when we get back to Salt Lake, you can explain your side of the story to me. When we get back to Salt Lake City, you can explain your side
we'll
of the story
to
me.
Yeah, and so Lisa just wants to hear what Jen has to say, and you hear Jen talk about, I mean, Jen kind of always takes it back to like the way she was raised and how she grew up. She feels a need to be really loud and defensive, and I understand that, but also I'm like, it's one thing to be like naturally loud, and like, I understand why you would be defensive with your background that you've explained, but also like, you're not acknowledging the fact that you get angrier than everyone. Like, you take it to the next level, which is just like anger and almost a level of violence.
She slapped, she hit
she
her friend. Heather. She yeah. hit her best friend. So it's like, I understand that
swatted
her experience was probably extremely, like, very different from the rest of these women, obviously, because she's not white. But, like, it's a weird, yeah, I don't know. And the minute she said, Lisa just goes, oh, right.
But in this conversation, it kind of seemed like Jen's not really taking responsibility for her actions in these, like, conflicts. No.
And Lisa goes, well, Jen, you did say you were going to drown Whitney in a lake. And you just see Jen go like,
ugh. Yeah.
She goes, and I understand that you were just saying it as like a big thing to say for you, but to someone else, that could be perceived as threatening. And Jen's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like the threat of drowning someone in a lake is kind of lol to me, but the getting in people's faces and like swatting them and like really like getting aggressively in their faces is like, that is where I'm like, okay, the line is crossed.
Yeah. Do
I think she's going to drown anyone in a lake?
No,
no.
No. She's.
I would never even leap to that conclusion or feel threatened if Jen told me she was going to drown me in a lake.
No, it's just like a very jarring thing to throw at someone in a fight. And I really think Jen has like a good heart. I think she has a lot of like anger.
Yeah. And I think it gets way lit the fuck up when she's had one or two cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I hear what everyone's saying and I'm going to take it down 2 notches. And I was like, honey, you need to take it down 20 notches.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lisa is like, well, you know, I think we all need to have a conversation about that. So like Jen has definitely got one ally with Lisa.
Yeah.
Which will surely cause some feathers to be ruffled with Queen Meredith, who we cut to is with Seth. At her Casa de Marx. And you just hear Meredith go, Seth.
Seth, I sliced a banana for you.
She's like, look, isn't that nice? And Seth's like, yeah, it's cool.
I love the way she talks. Yeah, they're really in a good place.
Yeah, I don't buy it. First of all, Meredith seems more lucid. I feel like whatever she was on, maybe she sobered up or she's off.
It wore off.
It wore off.
Finally, Seth. The lewds wore off.
But she and Seth are, I don't know. I just wrote, I don't buy Meredith and Seth.
You think it's like still tenuous? I think it could be still tenuous, but it seems like better. I don't know what they're trying to get out of this act that they're putting on.
Well, they're like fun and flirty. I mean, maybe it's like part of their like relationship building. Like they have to like date each other again and flirt and like be silly with each other. Like, you know, it's, I don't know what's going on, but it just feels a little like they're being like, look at us. Because later Meredith's like, I really think it's, they're all upset with how their marriages are, you know, shaping out to be. And they're taking it out on me and Seth.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of like, they're all just jealous.
Yeah. I mean,
because Seth is pissed about them gossiping about their marital,
but he seems to be a little more zen about it, where he's like, yeah, just own it and be like, we did have our problems and we both saw other people, but yeah, now we're like better than ever, blah blah blah. And Meredith's like, I've never had this kind of volatility in the friendship in my life, that's why I might have to disengage.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, Meredith is constantly disengaging.
She sounds like the she sounds like the guy who does like lifestyles of the rich and famous.
She is like that.
What's that guy's name?
I can't remember.
I don't know. That's why surely I must be disengaging.
I might have to just disengage.
Yeah, she's like, don't throw stones at a glass house. You know, she's like saying all that kind of stuff about everyone else's marriages, which I'm kind of like, I don't know. I think she's mostly talking about Jen.
Yeah.
But because I don't think Lisa and her husband have issues.
They seem fine, I guess. I mean, no one is in a relationship that I'm jealous of on this show.
No.
In fact, like watching their relationships play out, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not in a relationship, because doing any of this shit, except for Jen and Sharif, like I do believe in their love.
Oh, they're Like when they're dancing later, it's really sweet.
Yeah. And like, I love his love for her. And that makes me feel like happy because that seems like a relationship that was, that is rocky, but there is genuine intent and caring to change and grow together. But for the rest, I guess it just seems like this is torched.
Yeah.
And like, why are you still in this if you don't really like, if you don't have Jen and Sharif level of love, I suggest you just disengage.
I'm going to be disengaging.
And now with that, I shall be disengaging.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
We cut to Whitney, and she's headed to like a saloon slash beauty, like a hairstyling school. And Diane Warren's there, and he's completed his rehab. He's still in his sober living, but he's almost done. And he's working towards becoming a teacher at a beauty school. So he has to he has to audition in front of a class and like some instructors to like make it as an instructor for the school. So Whitney's going to be his model.
Yeah. And Diane's really in her element, and I was happy for her in this moment.
I thought her dad was like, first of all, he's really good. He knows what he's talking about. He has like a really cool like vibe when he's doing it, and it looked soothing to get your hair done by him. And he was, you know, the crowd was mostly like young women, but they all seemed to really like him, and he was like cracking like dad jokes and being kind of like dorky, but it was really cute.
I root for Diane, always have.
Yeah, so I think he, you know, there's evidence that he's like maybe gonna get his shit together.
Yeah.
Ugh, hair I just heard Tony.
Tony literally has decided that he can't sleep on a bed and needs to sleep in my lap while we record this. And who am I to say no to my precious son?
He just made a sound that sounded like bread yawning.
It's especially loafy. I did get a humane bark collar for him because he's been driving me somewhat crazy at night with barking at every sound that happens. And I put it on him a couple nights ago. And he got extremely depressed that he couldn't flip the fuck out, and then pouted, and like he lost his like joie de vivre to the point where then I just took the bark collar off because I was like so shell shocked by his depression.
Oh my God. He knows how to.
He manipulated. Yeah.
The hair school looked very, a little like Nexium like, but I was digging it. I was digging this moment. I want to get my hair cut, so I was just very much like...
Same.
It looked really good to just get your
hair... Have your hair washed and then get it trimmed.
Mm-hmm.
Just lots of overhead lighting in that hair school.
Mm-hmm. Asymmetrical. He was talking about asymmetric...
Bobs and whatnot. Bobs. I root for Diane. Hair salons, I think, can be like notoriously druggy spaces.
Yeah. I think he needs to be really careful.
I'm worried. It seems like from the reunion,
yeah,
the sobriety might be TBD. But
it's sad.
What can you do? I need one of those shirts from Beauty Lab that says "Life is short, buy the lips."
Yeah, we go to see Heather's. They're all packing up their space. Everything's like in a tizzy. Everyone's getting ready for the big move. Meredith comes breezing through the door. She's wearing this very sharp blazer, like a brassiere kind of thing.
Meredith looks great.
She looks great.
And Heather is deciding whether or not she needs to kick Jen to the curb and leave their friendship in the dust. And they just have a conversation about that. It's really kind of boring.
Yeah, she's just kind of like... Heather's like, if my daughters had a friend like Jen, I wouldn't want them near her. And I was like,
that was real talk.
Very telling.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word? A brassiere?
A corset?
A corset. She's wearing some kind of like, I don't know what it was. Something French.
A structured French lingerie. Blazer.
Yeah. I'm wrong. Probably going to, someone's...
Lingerie Hive is going to come for you for that.
I don't know.
They're like, did you hear what he said about the brassiere on Sexy Unique Podcast? Let us swarm.
Brasserie. Isn't that also the name of like a French eatery?
Brasserie is brasserie. A French eatery. Yeah, which is different from a brassiere. Okay. Lisa, meanwhile, takes to the boardroom, her home away from home, and decides to have a bonding moment with her sons where they go over their product launch. I love that, like, this is how Lisa spends quality time with her offspring.
What's it called? Like, something wolf?
Fresh wolf.
So Lisa meets with this woman, and Lisa goes, the branding for social is amazing. She just says that. And then her sons and her husband come... like moseying on in and like hoodies, and they all have giant like big gulps the size of my like leg. And
I was craving a big gulp when I saw that.
And she goes, oh good, you even got one for Courtney or Alexis or whatever. Lisa has her big giant big gulp of Diet Coke.
I was hoping that it would be a Sonic Route 44 vanilla Diet Coke, because that is my, if I'm gonna go with like a soft drink to the dome, that's what I want the most.
I don't like vanilla DC.
Oh, I love vanilla DC. I got like suspended from school for a day once for sneaking off campus to get a vanilla DC.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So Lisa's doing like a strategy meeting for her sons and husband's line, like what they're gonna do, and she goes, school is your number one job right now. And then afterwards, you come and you work on Fresh Wolf. And that's how you pay for your car.
That's how you're going to buy your... And then Jack goes, Range Rover Defender. And then Henry goes, McLaren. And Lisa goes, I love that.
What's the oldest son's name? Jack.
Isn't it Jack?
He goes, he's like, yeah, Range Rover. He says it in like the deepest voice possible. Like, oh,
you're right.
God.
He has a baby face and the voice of a 39-year-old.
It's very strange.
Lisa goes, I've created many moguls and I'm not mad at that. All right. And then she makes her sons pitch the brand to this random lady.
And as they're kind of like meandering through it, her youngest son, Henry, just starts like playing with everything because he's like nine.
And he's goes, not like he, you don't need to be pitching anything when you're, you don't need to be in a boardroom when you're 9 years old.
She just, she keeps going, Henry, she goes, Henry, baby, that's enough of that. That's enough.
It's a little loud, Henry.
It's a little loud, Henry.
Henry.
Henry. It's loud. No more of that. No more of that. Very Shailene and Big Little Lies energy.
Totally. And then while Jack is like doing a brand pitch, Lisa's like, and what would you recommend for dad? And he's like, well, you need turmeric for hair loss. And Henry laughs. He goes, ha, hair loss.
Whatever. I'd fuck their dad. I want to fuck their dad.
I know you do. I don't understand it, but I accept it.
I've had some other people quietly.
I love that.
There are some of us out there.
I believe it, and I don't understand it. It's not for me personally, but I still accept that that's your guys' truth.
I said today, I'm working through my desire to sit on Lisa's husband's lap, and someone tweeted at me, you know he slings pipe. And I was like,
he probably does.
Hell yeah.
Have a honker.
Yeah. Anyway, that's...
Anywho.
Lisa, if you hear this, I'm just kidding.
She's like, I don't love that.
I don't love that. Speaking of my husband that way. I just wrote Henry. Something's up. So we need to talk about Henry.
Henry, I think it's just too young to be put in that kind of situation. I think that maybe wait till someone's 13 before you put them in a boardroom and try and get them to pitch a brand.
Where
and
are
create
they?
Products.
They're at like a WeWork.
It's like, yeah, it's not working for Henry. So I don't fault him for being a little like...
Scatterbrain?
Yeah. He's a child.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at him through the lens of like, why aren't you acting like an adult?
You're not being very professional right now, Henry. I'm literally in third grade.
They literally have like a 5-minute meeting. Then Lisa goes, great, this was amazing. And then they all leave. And then they just leave Henry in the room.
And they're like, Henry, are you coming with us or not?
Henry, and then I want like, a whole horror movie about Henry locked in like a WeWork at night.
Yeah, Henry gets trapped in the WeWork and has to come face to face with the spirits that lurk within.
And you know there's a lot.
And while also confronting his own personal demons.
Mm-hmm.
That's my pitch. Anyone want to buy
love
it?
I love it. I'm producing it. Also, it's Sundance right now. So Lisa, I wonder how Lisa's faring.
Is she having like Zoom events on?
I hope so.
Can you even get together for events?
No, I think
Sundance?
It's all like virtual screenings.
Mm. I just love that like every sort of A-list gathering is put on hold. It gives me like joy to know that the gatherings of that ilk can't happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm not loving this energy right now.
That's a great pitch. I think we're going to tighten it up. We're going to work on it and we'll meet back to circle back and pitch some more ideas about Fresh Wolf, your brand.
Henry, I'd like a treatment done in the next 2 days.
Do you have a deck for me? That's great. I love that.
I love a deck, Henry.
I mean, I think it's motivating to tell children, like, launch a brand so you can buy, like, the car of your dreams. That's
I think it's
tight.
A little weird. It's, like, a little young.
They're very, like, they're very materialistic, which I feel like is out. I mean, I guess some Mormons or a lot of Mormons are really materialistic, so it seems, based on what they've told us on this show. But it just seems a little bit like anti-spiritual. Yeah. You just like weren't really supposed to love material things that much.
Mm-hmm. So we cut to Faith Church, Faith Temple, and we see Mary. Finally, Mary's out of the house. She's in her element.
She goes to her other house, the Lord's house.
We see a quick cut of a painting of Rosemary Cosby, Mary's grandmother, and Jesus. And the caption is Rosemary Cosby and Jesus. And it's like a painting of them together in the clouds. Mary's the choir director. So she is having a choir rehearsal with the full church band. She walks in. All the people are kind of like overcome when they see her. She's wearing a rhyme-studded shirt that says Amen.
Amen. I need that sweatshirt.
And she walks up to her guitarist. And she goes, why are you gaining weight? She goes, you need to take care of yourself. Drink water. And he goes, okay.
Mary's constantly telling people to drink water.
Yeah.
She should launch a water app that reminds you to drink water. Yeah.
So she starts rehearsing. They're singing Amazing Grace. They're all a little rusty. Mary's just not having it. She's every time they go for, a little spell of singing, Mary has to stop. And she's like, why are we doing this?
She's like, where are you right now? You're out to lunch. William, excuse me. Where's your head?
She goes, Melvin, why are you daydreaming? She goes, where were you? She goes, you were over the moon.
Welcome back.
And he's just like, yeah, I was. And she goes, and then she instructs them to really feel the music. And she's like, I want you to sing like you mean the lyric. She's like, we were all lost and now we're found. And she starts getting really teary. And and all of them are really, and it's like, wow, you really understand why she's got them all.
The leader of a cult.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Then Jen and Sharif take a dance lesson. And they're really killing it. They're great dancers.
They're sexy together.
They are. Sharif can move. Jen can move. They have the chemistry.
Sharif is a great dancer.
It's really hard in those.
Salsa dancing is really hard.
And especially in Spanish dances, to isolate your hips like that. Like I, as someone who was ballroom trained for 2.5 years, I can tell you right now that the isolation of hips is a difficult thing to master, and he's fucking got it on lock.
He's a natural. And him and Jen, it's nice. I think Jen's at her best when she's with Sharif.
She is. And they,
she's easy.
When they're expressing their love to each other, it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they still have that high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Kind of feeling towards each other.
There's this really sweeping shot when the camera's revolving around them dancing, and it's very kind of cinematic, and you just feel you understand why they're together.
Yeah, it's a moment.
And it's nice. I like Jen gets one moment where she's not freaking out.
Yeah, it's hard to I've realized Jen is freaked out since the moment the show started. It's been
constant
and so
freaks.
But it hasn't made me like her any less. I actually think coming away from this, she's one of my favorites of the show, because she just is very real and raw.
Yeah, I mean, like her or not, she's brought, I don't know,
she held the show up. She carried the show.
Yeah,
let's be honest,
she did.
She splashed producers. Love her for that.
Didn't love when she hit people.
Don't love a SWAT.
But she brought it.
But yeah, she did.
So we see it's the night of the event at Beauty Lab. Meredith is wearing a Brooks collaboration with Christian
Cowan
and Brooks. It's the last time we see Brooks for the whole season.
Yeah.
And he goes,
bye, Brooks.
And Meredith changes in front of him for a second. He goes, Mom, there's camera. And I was just like, Brooks is very pent up.
Yeah, he's kind of prudish.
But it was cute.
She looks goes,
phenomenal.
I could wear this, or I could make it a blazer dress.
And he's like,
I love her. She loves a blazer dress.
She does. Wait. Mm-hmm. Meredith is going to steal the season with this look.
Yeah, she knew exactly what she was doing. Meredith was not going to let one season go by without revealing a little tricks up her sleeve.
Heather is setting up. She has really hot bartender
and a cotton candy machine. Yum.
Yeah, they're making little cocktails with cotton candy and alcohol in them, and it's just really everything's fluffy and airy. There's an oxygen bar at one point. All of her friends gather. One of her friends is named McKay. And I wrote, oh, here comes Heather's lovely daughters and her zombie
love
ex-husband.
All of them. Yeah, Billy. It was nice of him to show up.
It was nice. He was, in his own weird way, was very sweet and supportive of Heather.
I love she takes him in the other room and she's like showing him around and she goes, did you ever think that this would be my future? And he goes, no.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And she goes, thank you. And I was like, okay, that was by any other realm would be interpreted as quite rude, but with him, it's actually very supportive and sweet.
He's like, you're going to have to support me soon.
And she's like, ha ha. And it's like, that will never happen.
Mm-hmm. Is he drinking alcohol in that moment? I think he is.
I was wondering. I was like, it looked like he was, but maybe it was a virgin cotton candy cocktail.
Maybe.
There's nothing I want less than a cotton candy cocktail, but there's nothing I want more than just a stick of cotton candy.
Me too.
Mary arrives looking Mary chaotically arrives. Askew.
Mary's like excited because she hasn't, I don't think she's been around like people who aren't in her church or in her household in a while.
Yeah, she finally, this is the second time that she got out of her house.
I just wrote finally. Meredith arrives wearing a full diamond studded mask. She looks very Vox Lux.
It's incredibly Vox Lux, and she does like her red carpet moment and get does like a step and repeat photo, and you hear her just go, it is throwing off my balance a little bit.
Yeah, they go, can
and
you
like,
even see
kind
in
of
that?
Stumbles.
There's also two photographers.
I'm literally dying at how ahead of her time Meredith is with this mask and her blazer dress.
I wrote COVID could never.
No, it could actually never. It wishes it could, but it never will. Because the one and only Meredith Marks came to play.
She really looks like the masked guy in Safe.
Yeah.
So she comes in. Everyone is like completely freaked out by her look.
Salt Lake City is shook. They've never seen such a thing.
They've never seen such a thing. They're totally like, what?
Meredith and Brooks together have united to bring fashion to
finally.
A place that never has known fashion. And that place is Salt Lake City.
I
Utah.
Loved it. I was into it. Say what you will
I was
about
so
it.
I into
but
it.
It was, I thought it was great.
I think she's like, she's very like of the moment. It was giving me like, the vibes of when Kanye West would wear like Margiela diamond masks for his tour. And I loved that era. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to have like a throwback to that.
No, it was great. It was
beautiful.
And I
like
that
powerful.
I like that it caused everyone to go into a tizzy.
It caused a stir.
It did.
It caused quite the stir.
Mary is not happy with her fashions.
No. Mm-mm.
Which I'm like, you know what? I respect Mary's fashion sense. So if she doesn't like it, I respect that opinion.
I honestly don't, because I think Mary dresses well in her like day-to-day life, but very poorly for events.
Totally. Yeah, she didn't look, she looked weird.
She looked chaotically askew. She wears like multiple necklaces. She'll always wear like a Chanel like half glove with the fingers cut out, and then a dress, then a purse that's like not an evening bag. She does like a crossbody bag, and then a jacket over that. It's like way too much. Mary, you've got to get it together.
Meredith and Lisa have some tension because
they do. Terrence and Philip are not getting along.
Terrence and Philip, I think they might actually be fighting in the reunion too.
Really?
Or something. But Meredith and Lisa tells that Meredith that she and Jen met for drinks, and Meredith's like not pleased because she's like, if you're really my friend, why would you go and hang with someone who tried to destroy my family?
Yeah. But then they kind of end things with Meredith being like, I won't tell you who you can and can't be friends with.
But she kind of does.
But she definitely does.
Lisa seems a little scared.
Mm-hmm. I love when Lisa was like, can you take that off for a second, like with Meredith's face mask, because they were having a full conversation with Meredith in the mask.
That was pretty great. Lisa was like, and then Meredith, you just see her, she kind of goes like, she's kind of coy about it.
Then Mary and Whitney sidebar and take in some oxygen and have a chat about Jen.
Mm-hmm. That was like, Mary was probably like went home and bought an oxygen machine, a flavored oxygen machine.
I want an oxygen machine.
I know. They used to have them at the boardwalk in New Jersey.
I know. They would always have them in like tourist towns.
Mm-hmm. And then
remember tourism, remember laughter,
remember tourism. And then Jen walks in, she makes her grand appearance, and everyone's obviously like when she walks in, and Heather's like, part of me is happy, that elated that she's here, but part of me is worried that she's here to sabotage. And unfortunately for the entertainment value, she doesn't. She's just there to support, and she's kind of on good behavior.
Yeah, despite the fact that Whitney is the first person to approach her.
I know.
And then deliver a robot speech to her.
I couldn't understand anything she was saying.
Me neither. I was like, you're doing this simply to get Jen to like flip out and rip your fucking esophagus out of you. And she's not going to do it.
The old Dabney Mortimer Mercer.
Classic Dabney.
Spine.
Dogwood Dabney.
Dogwood Dabney. But Jen's, she goes, I'm going to give the Michelle Obama, you know, and go high when they go low. So she's just kind of like, okay, Whitney.
Yeah, she like apologizes for what I don't know. And Whitney goes, thank you for apologizing. And I just wrote, okay.
Mary, when Jen walks by, Mary's talking to someone else. And you just see Mary tilt her, her eyes roll so hard in the back of her head.
And then you have the best moment where Meredith is talking to some rando and she goes, anytime I've had bad energy around me coming from someone and I've ignored it, it has always been a disastrous mistake. And then Jen creeps up around her as she's finishing this. And then she's like, oh, hello. And then Jen apologizes to her.
I have to say, there's a lot. The guy that Meredith was talking to was really cute. I feel like there's a lot of like hot, like, Mormon or Mormon adjacent gays,
like, yeah,
in Salt Lake City, that are just like,
can you be gay?
I don't know. Readers, weigh in.
Yeah, gay or nay, gay Mormon or edition.
Wait, but we have to talk about Heather's speech.
Oh yeah,
Heather makes a speech with her and her business partner, and she's just kind of, and her investor, and she's like, we've had to hide our success for so many years. She goes, but now it is our time, and everyone cheers.
I'm a businesswoman. I'm a success.
Yeah, she like comes out as being successful. So then Meredith and Jen kind of have this like very tense amends making, but Meredith does not. She says that she appreciates the apology, but she's basically not going to accept it because she's like, I need time because you've run her name through the mud.
Yeah. She says, I need to protect my positive space. I wrote, same.
And Jen's just kind of like, I mean, what can you do? And then Heather arrives and she's like, what's everyone talking about? And Jen and her start talking. And Heather finally, I just wrote, love the strength. Like, she just finally,
she feels emboldened for once to like say what she needs to say.
And she goes in and she tells Jen, like, I think you've been a really shitty friend to me and like you've abused me and I can't, you know, I have to like really protect myself and like I have to say this to you, like, we can't be friends if you're behaving this way.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen kind of starts crying and she does a lot of, are you kidding me? Like, I've always been, and Jen goes, I got her a personal day of shopping. Like, she's she's like saying like all these things that like why she was actually a good friend.
Yeah, kind of gaslighty and like not, and shirking responsibility. And then all the other women are watching as this kind of talk escalates somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa goes, it gives me anxiety and I don't get anxiety. And then she goes up to them and she goes, whisper. Can you whisper?
She's Lisa.
She goes into event mode. She's like, at an event, we don't raise our voices
above library talk. Library volume, whisper. Ladies. Library volume.
Can you whisper? I need Lisa to write a book about events and events.
I'd love etiquette.
Yeah, Lisa's etiquette with Lisa Barlow.
So they, Jen and Heather, kind of have an uneasy amends. I think Jen is sort of just like, I don't want to be in the doghouse anymore. So she's kind of just agreeing to like take the L, but she doesn't fully agree with what Heather's saying.
Yeah, I appreciate Heather telling her like what she needs to hear for an apology. I think that's always like a good way to go about like resolving conflict. And Heather keeps it real when she's like, Shaw Squad is on your payroll. I'm actually here for you, which is something I think Jen needs to hear.
She does.
And just when you think Jen is not going to apologize to anyone, she apologizes to everyone.
Yeah. And then at the end, Heather goes, can I borrow some lip gloss? And she goes, no.
Fuck you. I love when she goes, I'm sorry to everyone. And then and Heather's like, you're owning it. And then Jen goes, I don't know what I'm owning, but I'm sorry.
Baby steps.
Yeah. And I just think Jen and Heather probably shouldn't be friends.
No.
It seemed like that lip gloss moment, I was like, I think this friendship is always going to be a little bit tense and like rife with resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they're
long-term meant to be.
But it ends on sort of a weird, bittersweet note. There's a shot of Whitney and her husband both. Whitney's obsessed with the oxygen.
Yeah, she loves nothing more than some fresh O2. Whitney's going to launch a skincare line, which like no one asked for that. Jen hired an 8th assistant, which no one asked for that. Mary is organizing her closet, which no one asked for that. Lisa's scheduling a trip to Mexico, which, okay. Meredith and Seth are in couples counseling, okay. Heather is a non-practicing Mormon, and now there's a 3-part reunion. Like,
I could just tell your energy going into the ending of this. I could just see where you were just like, I am so bored by this.
I'm bored. Like, this episode was really boring, and it sucks when it's like, it's just been really up and down. It's a volatile stock.
Nothing SLC. Will ever recreate that opener.
No. And that like, first we episode. Got close we got... a couple times, but
no it, cigar. It
started off strong. It opened strong on the market and then tanked, and I would sell now. Or maybe I would sell some of my stock, but maybe hold on to the rest of it in hopes that next season would be good.
It went out with a whimper.
It did. And then, but the reunions look promising.
The reunions look lit.
Yeah. Jen's ponytail
is
pulled
that word
back
a lot.
To She-Hulk. I mean, I think we're going to get some She-Hulk moments. And I like that the husbands are only allowed in on Facebook, on FaceTime.
I think Lisa She-Hulks at one point.
Lisa's spray tan, her trip to Mexico must have lasted 6 months because she is so tan. It's unreal.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's too much.
I'm ready.
It's too tan. Well, good, because we have three episodes.
Stay with us. We have three more reunions, and I hope they're going to be better. And I'm, regardless of whether or not this season was good, it was fun to do. And watch with all of you.
I'm always
blessed.
And of course,
you, Lars.
To have a moment to lol with you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Guys, you can follow Lara at Lars Marie on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow Carrie at eCarrieO. You can join the Patreon. There's weekly bonus episodes. That's patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
You can email the podcast.
Email. sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. We read these emails on bonus episodes, and it's really, really fun. We get good intel and like behind the scenes stuff, and then just random things that have nothing to do with the show but are really funny. And
check it out.
It's a great space. Check it.
I hope everyone stays safe and healthy in these trying times where I feel the light is coming. And
also, it's great that the sun is no longer setting at 4:30 p.m. Yeah, it's like setting a little bit later, so that gives me a lot of hope.
Let's celebrate that. Midsommar is upon us.
We're only a few months away from Midsommar.
So to that I say, skål.
Skål.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.